Fans, my name's Sam, and with me as always is Maggie, and this is Section 314 podcast. And as of this last road trip, as of last night against Minnesota, it's Groundhog Day again.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yep. We're just limping our way through the season. You know, we just came off, you know, what, like a 3-game road trip. Overtime loss against the Buffalo Sabres. We actually played pretty well and got an overtime win against the Bruins in Boston. And then we lost to Carolina, and last night we lost to back at home against Minnesota, which I just, went back and he was like, you know what, let's watch the highlight reel and going over it. You know, I don't think we played terribly like some other games that we've had where it was just an absolute train wreck. But I feel like I feel like this loss kind of came to like, you know, once again, we got to move our feet a lot better in the defensive zone. And it also went back to, you know, there's one, maybe two goals that Binnington was like, should have had that one, bud.
Yeah, so positive note on that, though, was Robert Thomas coming back early.
Record-breaking.
Yeah. Supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and they said 1 day early of the 4-week return. He played 23 minutes, and looks like he didn't miss a beat. So shout-out to him and his rehab. He definitely was a playmaker last night.
Yes, we definitely appreciate that, and we definitely need that right about now. But at the same time, you know, he needs some help. He needs some help. He can't do everything. Like, you know, I saw that Dylan Holloway, Zach Boldick, you know, their ice time is kind of low, and it's like, why is that? You know, like, we need numbers right now, and just sitting these players, you know, on the bench for most of the game, it's like, what does that do? How does that help us? Especially, you know, players like, you know, you're getting Robert Thomas back. You know, you need some extra bodies out there to get ice time to help him out.
Yeah, I think a big thing is we need a shooter. Just like last night, Minnesota, they have Kaprizov, who will just shoot. And, I mean, he scores a lot. I think he had his 12th goal of the season last night, and they said he was on his way to a 50-goal season. And we don't have anybody like that, to be honest. We don't have someone that just shoots.
Yeah, no, we definitely need a we definitely need somebody to kind of spark the fire there on the offensive line that, you know, can kind of bring that pressure to kind of rally the rest of the lines up to say, all right, let's start taking shots, let's move the puck quicker, and let's just go to the net no matter what. And that, and frankly, at this point, that's what you have to do. You know, the Blues are like, what, like they're 8-11 right now. That's what you have to do now, is just attack. I mean, you got nothing to lose.
I do like Scotty Perunovic. He is becoming more confident in his play. He got his second goal of
Beautiful shot last night by him to get the
ball. Yeah, second goal of his career last night. It was a nice snipe upper right. I don't even know what they call that in hockey. I always call it upper 90 in soccer. Five hole? Is it five hole in hockey?
Five holes, you know, through the legs, obviously.
Yeah, in soccer, that's nutmeg. So I don't know. What's the upper right in the – or upper left top in shelf. The – Top shelf, okay. I'm learning. I should know that. I blame it on the cold that I have right now.
where mama keeps the cookies. So lots of people are, you know, are calling for Bannister's head now. And the Boston Bruins just released Jim Montgomery, and everyone's saying, get him now while he's hot. Your thoughts?
I love Monty. I think, like, he's a great coach. I was excited for him to go to the Bruins and sign that contract. Well-deserved. But I also feel like it's a mirror of what the Blues went through last season. So the Blues were, what, terrible, and then they fired Berube, hired some mid-coach, and they're still in the same place as where they were last year. I think that's going to happen with the Bruins. They fire a good coach, and then whoever, Joe Sako, whatever, is the coach now.
Yeah.
I think it's more of the players and the general manager. I don't think you can blame everything on the coaches. They're not the ones playing, but also, I just, like I said last time when we spoke, I'm not a big fan of Bannister, and I don't think that he has the room, and I don't think anybody really respects him. So I think it would be nice to say bye to him and bring Monty in, because he knows about the Blues. He knows Army. He knows all the coaches and everything, just because he was an assistant coach when they won the Stanley Cup. So I think it would be nice to bring him in. I think people would listen and respect him, but I don't know what Army's going to do.
Yeah, it's a toss-up right now for Army. I mean, yeah, I know we just kind of threw in Bannister, you know, not too long ago. But at the same time, it's like, you can't, as a you know, as an owner, as a team owner, as a GM, you know, you can't stand for this mediocrity. Like, I get it. You know, it's the rebuilding years. You know, you're going to go through this, whatnot. But I don't know, man. It's just, it's like, I'm set on being I'm a very competitive person. And if I'm Tom Stillman, and if I'm Doug Armstrong, you know, I'm kind of breathing down Bannister's neck saying, dude, get it together now. Like, you need to get it together now. We got all these young guys. We're trying to set these guys up for their future. We're trying to set up Alex Steen for a good future to be the next GM. And then you also got, you know, like, Dvorsky. You got you got Jimmy Snuggerud and stuff like that coming up in the future. And we can't have this mediocrity. You know, we have to have a system and plan. So now, because we don't really have anything going right now, which I get, it's rebuilding years. But, you know, come a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, you're going to have all these younger guys coming up. They're going to be the new core of your team. And Alex Steen's going to need those players to have some sort of system, some sort of mentality and game plan, how they play to get into a playoff run, to get to a cup run, et cetera, et cetera. And right now, we got literally nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't help that we have, like, all these huge contracts either. We're not even playing our players to the best of what they should be playing either.
Right, you got all this money tied into these big contracts. So that's another thing. That probably makes it harder for Army to, you know, on the opposite side of things, it makes it harder for Army to say, hey, we can just throw money anywhere and anywhere for coaches and stuff like that.
Well, they also just signed Booch for a really big extension, but, like, I don't know that he's been put in the position to be playing, like, as good as that money is. You know, like, he's not a center, and Bannister is just forcing it. So I think you put him on the wing, and he definitely is earning that check right there.
Yeah, we need a big-time playmaker or, like, a big-time center to kind of start putting that pressure on in the offensive zone. And defensively, we gotta move our feet better. Like, one of one of Minnesota's goals last night. Like we are, like I said, I don't think we played terrible last night, but you know, one of their goals. You know, at first I was like, are we on the are they on the power play? And they weren't, and they were just moving the puck around really well. And like, I don't even know how to describe it, but the Blues were like, they were just like looking one way all together and moving in one direction, and then the puck would move across the ice, and then they would all move together at once to the other side, kind of like it was as if it was like a penalty kill, and it wasn't. And then they just took, you know, took a shot, and it deflected and went in. And it was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they played pretty well last night. I watched the whole game, and I feel like any time the Blues play Minnesota, it's always a good game, no matter what. Like, even if Minnesota wins or if the Blues win, I feel like it's always a hard-fought game. I feel like that's a good rivalry right there.
Oh, Lord. So, let's see. Yeah, so I think we are winless right now against our own division. So in October, we lost to the Minnesota Wild. We lost to the Winnipeg Jets, which that game was the game against the Jets. That was a close game. Mm-hmm. And then we lost to Minnesota again. So it's just like, oh man. But we, you know, we haven't played Nashville. We haven't played Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, dang, not even getting a win against your own division yet.
Yeah, I think they said we were 0-4. Maybe? 0-3?
Yeah, I think 0-3. Minnesota, October 15th. Jets, October 22nd. That's two. And then you got...
Utah's in Central, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Utah's in Central now. I'm sorry. Forget it.
So, 0-4. I'm
still getting adjusted.
Yeah, they haven't been terrible. I feel like they're the same old Arizona Coyotes.
Right. Yeah, my apology. I forgot they're in the Central now. I'm still getting used to that. They're in such a weird spot, but yeah. Anyways, so now we got one more game at home tomorrow night against the San Jose Sharks, which I think they're, what, like 8-10, 7-10? No, 6-10-4. I'm sorry. And then you go on another 3-game road trip on the East Coast. You got the Islanders on Saturday in New York. Then you go right over across the river to Madison Square Garden against the Rangers on Monday night. And then Wednesday night next week, the day before Thanksgiving, you're in Jersey at Prudential Center against the Devils.
I was looking at the schedule the other day, and I was really shocked that we weren't playing Nashville the day after Thanksgiving. I feel like that's a tradition.
Yeah, I know. And speaking of tradition, it says here on Saturday the 30th, we have a home game. 2 days after Thanksgiving, we have a home game against the Flyers, which typically, as far as I can remember, for like the last, I don't know if they did it last year or the year before, but definitely like within the, like the last 5 years and maybe further back, it seems as if the day, you know, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, they always had on like NBC Sports, they always had the quote unquote Thanksgiving showdown between like the Rangers and the Flyers. Like the day after Thanksgiving, it was like a midday game on Black Friday, and my family hosts Thanksgiving. So we'd sit around, well, I would sit around and eat, like, you know, Thanksgiving stuff for lunch. But I would watch that game because it would always be on each year. And I guess they're not doing that this year. I don't know. But I always thought that was a lot of fun to look forward to. It's a little rivalry there. It's the same teams each year. You know, Black Friday, I always like that tradition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got this 3-game East Coast road trip. Then you got the Flyers. Then, you know, you have Thanksgiving. Then you have the one game against the Flyers, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And then you go on a 4-game Canadian trip against the Jets, Flames, Oilers, and Canucks. It's not going to get much easier for the Blues right now. I'll tell you that much. If anything, their schedule, like, you know, a little bit further down the road, it's just going to get harder.
Yeah, I'm looking at December right now, and it doesn't look easy at all.
I mean, you finally got, towards the end of the month, you got the Red Wings. Yeah, they're all right. You got the Predators at home, the Sabres, and then of course you have the Blackhawks for the Winter Classic, which, they're not that great of a team, but it's a rivalry. But the point is, your December schedule is not that easy, especially for the team, for the the presence that you bring right now, the team that you are right now, your identity. It's not going to be an easy December for you.
Going along with the Blackhawks game, the NHL announced the Winter Classic jerseys today. And on a scale of 1 to 10 Maggies, how happy are you with the Blues Winter Classic?
Just one Maggie, just the one Maggie right in front of me, and that's it. The line's drawn there, because what is Fanatics doing, man? Like, okay, it's like it's a unique creative design, whatever, blah 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 blah. It's like, dude, you have a national televised hockey game, one of the biggest hockey games of the entire season, nationally broadcasted. You have all this time to put together two incredible designs for your. for your event and for the Blackhawks, who are they're playing in their 50th Winter Classic. They have basically the same design as like a couple years ago, whatever. It's the same exact thing basically that you've seen before. That didn't even like I wasn't even like, oh wow, look at that. No, like I thought it was like the same old jersey as like years before. There was like no thought process put into it, no creativity, nothing. And then you go look at the Blues one, and you're like, oh my God, like, did this take like 10 minutes to like think of this idea and say, yep, that's it, that's what we're going with? I don't know. It's like you have to have the blue note on the center of the jersey. Like, what is this St. Louis thing like on the front? Like, am I at like a team store, like just buying like a t-shirt or like, a sweatshirt? No, like, I'm trying to buy like the uniform for my St. Louis Blues with the crescent, the note on the front of my jersey. That's my team. That's who I represent. And yes, St. Louis, obviously, but it's like you have to have the note on there on the front. Like the word St. Louis is like it's not that it's not it looks kind of cool like for like a sweater or like a sweatshirt or like a long sleeve shirt or whatever. But for like a team's like jersey for the Winter Classic, like what the players are wearing for the game, like that it's not that great.
They said for almost 60 years there has been one constant when it came to the sweater worn by the Blues until now.
Gosh, who said that?
The people who made the jersey.
Fanatics?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's really advertising. That's basically like a. That was like, you know what? It was look. You basically just said, you know what? This history, this jersey, this blue note, it looked great for 60 years. Until now. That's
Don't
basically what you just said.
what is it? Don't fix something that's not broken.
If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of where it's at. Which of the three are your favorite? The one from 2017, 2022, or this upcoming one?
It's definitely got to be to the 2017 is like number one. I love like the color scheme. I love like the yellow collar for like for the jersey, and then secondly, the cream like 2022 Winter Classic jersey that was in Minnesota, Minneapolis. That was pretty unique. I like that. And then this one is just not much. Like aside from like the front of the jersey, like it looks nice. The color scheme looks nice. I like it. But you gotta put the blue note on the front. Like you gotta create some sort of unique design with that. You had all this time and that's what you came up with. I don't like it.
As
I
you can,
really
everyone can tell, Sam is very triggered by this, and he is also going to be at the Winter Classic game, so he is going to be triggered again. And again, and again. You know, you could buy your own Winter Classic jersey today for $249.
See, that was my next point. It's like you're gonna charge $250 for something that took you like 20 minutes to think of. No.
I do not know who this guy is on the other side of the mic, so if we get in trouble for saying this, it is not Maggie or Sam.
Yeah, I don't know that, bro.
Do you have anything else on the Blues?
Not much, really. I think all season long, we just need a stronger presence defensively. You know, we've done some good things defensively, but I think we have to have a better presence, better back checking there, because I just feel like there's too many times where we're just kind of lackadaisical, just a little too slow with staying with our man or keeping control of the puck or getting the puck out of the zone. And it's not really always all three, but it just seems like most games, like, you know, there's some games where we play really well defensively, but I just feel like a lot of the games that we've had this season so far, it's either one of three things that basically makes you lose the game. It's defensively. It's, you know, you can't keep control of the puck in the defensive zone. You can't get the puck out. And finally, it's like you can't move your feet fast enough to, you know, stay with your man, and then they're just all over you, breathing down your neck, and the next thing you know, it's in the back of the net, and Bennington's hung up to dry.
Yeah, thank God we have Benner, though. He's been saving a lot of the season.
Made some really good saves last night. Kept us in the game for the most part.
So, I think we should talk about food now. We're going to switch over to what Sam had for his Sunday football meal, and I'm not impressed. You can go ahead and talk about it.
Oh, man. So I was working that day, and the only good option that was in the terminal was Quiznos, so that's what I had to settle with. Wasn't my first choice. I was aiming for a breakfast burrito in the other terminal. It was a really good breakfast burrito at the other terminal. But my flight was at the terminal I usually don't like going, so I was like, oh, of course, I'm stuck with this terminal. So all I had in desperate, dire times was Quiznos, so I just ate it, and I ate it in the corner like an idiot and just had to take the L.
I would have rather ate like a 69-year-old ham sandwich instead.
But yeah, but you know, the most important thing is Saints got the win. Darren Rizzi, the Riz magic is here. Saints are 2-0 with him. Saints are somehow in playoff contention right now, still in the NFC South. Falcons got their butts kicked by the Broncos. We love that. Carolina and Tampa were on bye. So far things are looking up for the Saints after all these injuries. And we'll see what happens after this bye week for the Saints. Back to you, Baxter.
All right, so we have our first special guest on our podcast. It is my good friend, Jacob Singer. He is from Rhode Island. He's in New Jersey right now going to school. He is a big Boston sports fan. So he's going to talk to us about how his Patriots are doing.
Yeah, let's hear about those Patriots, Jacob.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year, to say the least. I have hope in Drake May. I gotta say though, Quiznos though, that's your meal of choice. You're stuck.
That's what I was. that was option? The best thing. That was like the best option for the time I had. That was the
at
best
Philly option. Airport. I'm shocked that that's the best option. At the Philly Airport.
I was in Denver that day.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a place in the B terminal called Cantina Grill in Denver. And if you go up there in the morning, they have really good breakfast burritos. They got really good stuff. You can get like chorizo and all that, and all these cool toppings. But then,
and then they just close.
No, and then they're like, you know what? Your trip's actually your flight's actually in the A terminal today, not the B terminal. So I was like, oh god.
I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, you guys have the Broncos to thank, at least in your division. I gotta say, sorry, the Panthers are a mess. So that kind of helps the South. The AFC East, I think, is just as much of a disaster. New England's been all over the place. Drake May is something. There's at least hope. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
The Patriots, if you're looking at the AFC East, the Patriots are 3-8. Jets are 3-8. Miami is 4-6. So, you know, you're not far off. But then, yeah, the Bills are, 9-2. They're a juggernaut. So
I mean, yes. The Bills are going to win the division again. I've kind of accepted that. That's coming. That's going to be the case. I kind of want to see what happens this offseason because we can see Drake May can be it. And if you don't blow it up like you did with Mac Jones and bring in a not offensive coordinator, there's a chance to build.
Yeah.
I got to say for the Saints, though, why the heck did you bring in Dennis Allen when Derek Carr has gotten fired somewhere else? Like, the combination doesn't work.
Because Mickey Loomis is an idiot. Like,
I mean, I can't say Robert Kraft has been any smarter in the last couple of years, but you bring in a guy who your starting quarterback has gotten fired, like, that's begging for history to repeat itself.
And Mickey Loomis is, like, one of those guys that's like, you know what? I'm not going to accept failure. I'm not going to say, you know what? Hey, listen, I fudged up. No, he can't swallow his pride for 2 seconds. He has to let the whole franchise go up in flames before he finally. And even like when we've lost to the Panthers, the second time we played them, and then they're like, you know what? That's it. Apparently, Gail Benson, the team owner. Players went and talked with her, and she was just like, look, what's going on? After we lost to the Panthers, and word got out, and they were like, all right. And then Gail was like, you know what? Mickey didn't do it. Gail did it. She said, you know what, Dennis? You're fired. Because he couldn't have the nuts to be a GM and do what had to be done.
Right. I mean, watching owners take command in teams, like, look at all the stuff that's, I mean, this is not New England, this is not New Orleans. Look at the Jets. Look at what's come out about the Jets this week, with Woody Johnson having to step in and be like, all right, Joe Douglas, you're out. Robert Saleh, you're out. Not going to blame Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron Rodgers for some reason. But football is football. It's an interesting season, but it's not in the sense where it's like, cool, the Bills and Chiefs are still great. The Eagles are decent. The Lions are leading the NFC. Like, I also didn't think in my lifetime I would see the Lions go for a Super Bowl. But I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see it, too.
I'd love to see the Lions win. Like, I want a Lions Super Bowl win before the next Pats win.
Right, because they lost to the 49ers in the NFC Championship last year, right?
And that was a crush. Yeah, I watched that one. That one was close.
And the 49ers are only 5-5 this year so far. So, I mean, the window's kind of – it's kind of there
for the Lions. I mean, the Lions are the number one team in the NFC right now. Like, that's something as a kid I never thought I would say. Like, I would think, oh yeah, Lions have the number one overall pick. That makes sense. But the Lions being the top team in the conference and now a Super Bowl favorite over the Chiefs is wild to look at.
Hey, I picked the Lions to win the Super Bowl this season. I'm not like a huge football fan, but I do follow it and I do go watch every weekend because my roommate is a big Bears fan. But I did pick.
She's definitely drinking right now.
Oh, yeah. She's drinking every day.
She is. I did pick the Lions because I think she said that El Presidente, Dave Portnoy, whatever, picked. Dave Portnoy.
El Prez.
He picked the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. He put like.
That's being a Michigan homer. I got to say, that's a
stupid
amount
of money on there and said that the Chargers were going to win.
Because of the coach?
It's because of Harbaugh.
Yeah.
It's because of Harbaugh being a Michigan man and Portnoy being a Michigan man. I am a Michigan fan, but I did not pick I would not pick Harbaugh to win a Super Bowl in his first year with the Chargers. I mean, he got there eventually with the Niners with Colin Kaepernick as his starting quarterback. So now he's got Justin Herbert. There's a chance. But you're in the same conference, your same division as the Chiefs. You're having to be a wild card team, win on the road all playoffs. Like, you're not going to. You're not going to get home playoff games for the whole way through.
Being opportunistic here, the seventh seed for the AFC right now in the conference, which is the Denver Broncos, and they're 6-5. So really, you're only like right now, like three games out of like that, you know, wild card spot
for the Patriots. Right. The wild card in the AFC. The AFC is a competitive conference in terms of wild card this year. Like most teams are still in it, which is wild to see this far in with teams with this few wins are in it. The NFC is a top loaded conference. Like it's a very different story.
Yeah, you got the Dolphins, you got the Colts, you got bye week, and then you got the Cardinals, Bills, Chargers, and then Bills again. So it's kind of like a 500.
Oh, I hate the end of our season.
Yeah,
oh,
it's I hate like a the 500 end of our season. Or less type of rest of your season.
When I saw the schedule come out, I was like looking at games that I wanted to go to for the opponent, not for us. But you know, yeah, I mean, we have a shot. The Colts are a bubble playoff team. Dolphins are a bubble playoff team, and then the Bills are number two in the conference. Like that's a rough go for the end of the year. What the Rams are sitting? Okay, the Rams are there. The Chargers are in it. They're the first wild card. Yeah, so we just played a bubble playoff team. We're gonna play bubble or in the playoff teams for the rest of the season. The Patriots are probably ending up with a top 10 pick again. I'll take it. The whole talk of do we want Travis Hunter or an offensive lineman? Travis Hunter, sure, maybe a generational talent in the NFL, but how can you get him the ball without an offensive line? I say you go get Will Campbell from LSU. You go get a tackle. You go get cemented pieces on your offensive line so your best offensive lineman isn't having to play a different position every week. Like,
watching this season with the Saints, you know, especially like the center position for your offensive line, it took me forever to realize how important that center lineman is and how much he dictates, controls, and affects the outcome of that offensive line. Like Saints, you know, Saints have Eric McCoy, veteran player, amazing player. He goes out, and then all of a sudden, just the offensive line crumbles. And then he comes back, and then they're a juggernaut again. It's just like,
it's the center quarterback relationship, but then also like the center to lineman relationship. And it was the thing they talked about during the Pats game where it's like the Pats have, I think, played 8 or 9 different offensive line setups in 11 weeks this year. Like 8 or 9 different sets of guys as the front five doesn't work.
That's wild.
Be cohesive. And it was like the week to week, you don't know what the other guy's tendencies are. And it's right. Like, the center is your quarterback of your, like, protection. Like, he is your quarterback, especially for young quarterbacks, are not in charge of protection. Your center is. And you're right. You get a better center in. You get the protection. You get the ball to go where you want. Right? We see the difference now with Ben Brown having 5 weeks with Mac, like, with, I almost said Mac Jones, Drake May. You get to see where the offense is going versus, like, David Andrews had command even with Jacoby Brissett. Like, you lose Andrews, Patriots offensive line went down. You had inconsistency at center. You get Ben Brown, you get some consistency. There's some more protection there. But you can't beat, like, an all-pro caliber center. Like, that is key. That's a thing you need to go find.
Right.
I mean, look at what? Is Quinn and Nelson a center? No, I don't think so. Guy for the... No, he's a guard. But, like, the same thing. You go get that centerpiece offensive lineman. And that's your key, and the center is usually it for most teams, especially if you have a young quarterback or an offense that's being installed. That's how it has to happen.
Right.
I was watching the games this weekend on Sunday, and who is the guy for the Saints who literally plays every position?
Taysom Hill.
I put him so I
before holy this, cow.
The Stormin' Mormon.
Yeah, he's the Swiss Army knife for the Saints.
Holy cow. He was everywhere.
When he's on my fantasy team, so when I saw, look, you know, Dennis Allen's out, Darren Rizzi is in, you know, we have Clint Kubiak, now that he has a competent head coach to work with, it's like when you look at the stats, when you literally look at the stats, if you look at gameplay, if you've watched any sort of game with the Saints, you know when the Saints use Taysom Hill, things are going to happen, and the Saints have a much higher chance of winning that game. Doesn't matter who it is. It could be the Chiefs. It could be the Lions. The 49ers. Doesn't matter. If you use him, you have a higher chance of winning that game. And it showed last Sunday. So I made sure to put him in my lineup. dude balls out and gets 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, he literally will always have a job.
You need a so it seems like in today's NFL and in today's offenses, you need an athlete. You don't need a wide receiver, tight end, whatever. You need an athlete. You need a guy who can play a bunch of spots, do whatever he needs. Right, I'm looking at Taysom's stat line. He had 138 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, another 5 receiving. Like, this guy can also throw. Like, we forget this guy's a quarterback. He can throw the ball.
Yeah, like, he was playing quarterback. I think he was playing safety too, and like getting punt returns.
Personal
and
protector
I was like,
for the kicker, for the punter. It's yes.
He did throw an interception in the first half, but once I came back for the third quarter in the locker room, he was like, guys, you know what? I screwed up. My bad. You know, let's just change it up. Let's just keep rolling. And that's exactly what they did. And they just said, you know what? I'm done with the football. Let's just let me run it. And that's what they did. And then it's like even when teams know he's coming, teams know what he can do. And even then, they still can't stop him.
Yeah.
We're good. I'm going to say last season as an example, Patriots getting shut out at home for the first time in I don't know how long to the Saints on the back of Taysom Hill.
Oh, yeah, I remember like, that game.
We got shut out at home by the Saints for a lack of being able to stop Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill. Like, that's
– he basically has, like, MJ's secret sauce and, like, just goes out and rips, like –
secret stuff.
I was so confused. I was like, where did this guy come from?
And he's, like, what, in his mid-30s, but only in his, like, fifth year in the NFL because he's did a mission first?
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing, is, like, because he's, like, such, like, a utility player, he's not always on the field. So it's not like he's there every freaking snap. You know, he's not on the field every freaking snap. So it's not like so my point is, it's not like there's a whole lot of wear and tear on his body doing this, you know? It's like there's still a good chunk of time where he's just sitting on the sideline.
Which I think is good for his longevity. I think coaches have also taken into account this guy is older. Like, if he was like, the Patriots tried that with Marcus Jones in 2022. Let's put him on offense, defense, special teams, and just play him everywhere. It works. But you also see, crap, we're setting that guy up to get teed off on every single snap if we do that. Like, and that's where I see, like, if you bring Travis Hunter into the NFL, he could play that. But now you're like, cool, instead of playing 50 snaps a game, you're playing 120 snaps a game, your injury risk is up here. Like, it's not sky high, you're not safe. It's risky to put somebody in that high risk spot.
For
like,
sure.
I mean, you can see the offensive boom when you bring in a guy like that, but that's how you have to use it so selectively. Like, that's why you use it like how the Saints use him. Like, that should be every team's template of, like, hey, here's your athlete, go run the ball. But just don't put him in too much.
Right.
Because you're going to run out of that utility.
You know, use them on, like, you know, like, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 plays where it's like, you know, he's going to get that yardage, like, 99% of the time. So that's how you use him. Holy cow, I just had a brain fart. That's how you use them efficiently. Is those short gains that you need to get that burst down, and then you're off and running for the next set of plays.
Right, you keep it pretty sparing. Like, sparing use is better. I mean, the Patriots needed a spark this weekend and went, hey, Marcus, come in and play offense. Like, that's what you do when you get a guy like that. I mean, look, if we go way back, you got Mike Vrabel. 8 catches, 8 touchdowns, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you do that. You don't make the guy be an every down player. Like, if Taysom Hill still just trained as a quarterback, he could probably be a sufficient quarterback for the Saints. But as of right now, he cannot be the guy who just jumps in and plays quarterback.
Yeah, no. We also got Jake Hayner, and then we also got Spencer Rattler. So we're, like, making sure we have those lined up for when Carr's doing.
If and when he gets hurt or whenever happens. Right. It's like you're dealing with Derek Carr. You're dealing with a guy who's got an injury past. Who knows how many years he's got left in the league, which is sad to say about a relatively young quarterback when you have, you know, the outliers, but...
Yeah, and as much as, like, you know, like, he has a bad history, you know, injury prone, whatever, all that crap, this is probably one of the best seasons he's had, like, as a player in the NFL. I feel like he's looked a lot better than where he was on the Raiders or the early years that he was on the Saints. He's looked a lot better this year. And I think having like Clint Kubiak and Darren Rissi as his coaches and mentors now, and a more unique type of style of offense, it's definitely helped him a lot in the long run for the season.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, it shows, right? When you have a well put together offensive system, you can perform. You need cohesion, right? You don't have consistency, you have nothing. I mean, right?
Right.
Talk about Maggie's roommate. Look at the Bears. They get Caleb Williams.
From what I've gathered, they don't have an offensive line.
Correct. That's why the hapless Patriots got 9 sacks in one game.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I also
9
just
sacks
like,
in one
don't.
Game is insane.
9 times.
9 in a game was insane. Because like the Patriots social media team was even making jokes about it, where they're like, they posted it when they got to 7 and then went, oops, we wish we could edit this. Like, that's the problem with being the number one overall pick, right? Like, you get the best talent. You go somewhere.
On the shittiest team.
Bingo. You go to crap. You go to an organization that can't help you unless they want to help themselves. And who knows? I mean, the Bears aren't, like, doing terribly. Like, look, they almost beat the Packers.
Yeah,
they
the
lost
Bears
to the Packers
so
on a missed field goal.
That was agonizing. That was like the same as when the Broncos like got their kick
lost to the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Yep. Both of those were like, and somebody went back and looked at the Bears one. It's like, I think it was the
barely.
Bears or the Chiefs one, but it was like it barely missed. But it also should not have been in like, or maybe it was the Chiefs, like the Chiefs block on the Broncos shouldn't have been legal. Like it was one of those where it was like, without like, he was looking at Pat McAfee talking about it, where he's like, the rules have changed so many times to protect the long snapper. And that's where the Chiefs broke through to block it. And I'm like, yeah, I thought you couldn't push through the long snapper either, but that's all football, you know. Constant rule changes makes it tough to know as a fan, hey, when does this count, when does this not count?
Right, exactly. Or even if you're a coach, like if you're questioning it, it's like maybe like, I'm like, can you challenge that?
Right, can you challenge how they blocked it? Because like, I thought you weren't supposed to get leverage, you weren't, because like, I know when you hear old school guys talk about it, where it was like, hey, get man on man and just have somebody in the back push everybody forward. We got rid of that for guys' safety. Cool. But seeing teams stack either side of the long snapper, which you're allowed to do, but still push, I'm like, that still feels like, I mean, I saw, what was it, the Bears long snapper ended up like, I saw him like go head first in towards the turf, and I'm like, that doesn't look right. Usually if the long snapper gets blown up, now he's going backwards. Like, he's getting blown up like he's just going back, like he's just getting rolled over. I don't know. I mean, the Packers got lucky there. Clearly the Bears played a better game than they did the week before. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean,
we'll see.
Do your guys' teams play this Sunday, or are they on a bye?
We play.
Patriots have the Dolphins, and the Saints
Colts
are on a bye week right now.
Oh, so you're not
needed,
you're not needed. Making any food this weekend?
No.
Or eating Quiznos?
No Quiznos. It's been permanently banned from my Sunday football days.
Never again.
It's been a better term is it's been canceled.
It's been canceled.
Saints are off this weekend, so what I'm doing is it's up for grabs for what I'm doing this weekend. Might pick up an extra shift at work, might go to Estes Park in Colorado, we'll see. It's a toss-up. This is like it's the first Sunday I have off in a while for in a few weeks for a Saints game, so it's like without the Saints, it's like, I don't know.
Right. Timing is your bye week is your Sunday off.
I have in a full Sunday ticket, so that helps. So I can still enjoy football. But
yeah, that was the only way I could get Pats games down here. Was basically that was my option.
So since you guys got the Dolphins, like what's your game plan for Sunday?
Probably watching my girlfriend's. Who knows what's up with food? It's gonna be getting someone who's from a Jets family who doesn't care about football. to care about football is hilarious. So it's very entertaining. Where when that game came down to the wire against the Jets a couple weeks ago was the first time she ever watched. And she's like, I almost feel like I need to root for the Jets for my dad's sake. And I was like, nah, don't do it.
Don't put yourself through that. Yeah,
don't do it.
Once the Saints went on that, you know, 7-loss bender, at one point throughout that timeline, I was just like, you know what, like, you know, I get emotional, I get worked up, and I was like, you know what, I gotta start doing something that's like gonna chill me out and just kind of say, you know what, whatever. And so I just kind of started like doing these like little pictures that I've been creating with my Bitmoji, like dressed in like Saints gear, like taking these cool pictures of like pasting whoever we play is like, I'll take a picture of like on the, like I'll have like a picture of like on the field of whatever stadium it is with my Bitmoji, and I'll put like the team logos and like whatever food I'm making or buying that day for the game.
Be creative, right?
Quiznos. Some creative
outlet. Yeah, just something to get me through. Sponsored by Quiznos. Last week's loss is sponsored by
Quiznos is ASS.
I fell into a manic depression from football, and I landed on Quiznos. And that's what depression does to you, kids.
Hey, kids, don't worry about your antidepressants. Get Quiznos.
When I saw that, I was about to call you and be like, "What?" I thought you were getting okay? Whataburger. So now you have a week. Well, you have like 2 weeks to make a comeback with better food.
And you also have like, plus that post Thanksgiving game usually is Thanksgiving afterwards. Yeah, so, at least in my...
yeah, that'll be December 1st is like the Saints' next game. That's a Sunday, and we're at home at the Superdome against the Los Angeles Rams. And I'll be out of town for a work trip, but like I'll be kind of like what I'm doing now. I'll be in a hotel.
Tuned in.
So I'll be able to get something local that day for the game.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, it's not always
McDonald's.
A bad idea. All right, turn into Chad Ochocinco and just get McDonald's every day and see how you feel.
Eat every day for 30 days.
Right.
Just go on the Ocho diet. No, I mean, I've done it. I've watched games in hotels. I think the last time I watched a game in a hotel, Brady's last Patriots game, I think I watched in a hotel, because I landed in Florida when I had an offer for a ticket, but it was a trip that was already planned. So I landed in Florida as kickoff happened, so I literally watched Brady's end of his Patriots tenure not in New England. And I was like, that's depressing. But I can go on the beach tomorrow, so that's the only bright spot. But it's... I think before that, the last time was like wild card playoffs at a hotel in Philly waiting for the airport. Yeah. So it works. But yeah, I don't blame you there. I mean, it works. I mean, there's hope for the Saints. There's hope.
There's hope. But, you know, winning these two games in a row now, and you probably got a good couple of teams left in the season for the Saints schedule that you can beat. So you're probably missing out on your top 10 pick in the draft. But like you're also on the borderline of like still missing the playoffs, so it's like you lose either way. So it's
you're basically sitting where the 2021 Patriots were.
Yeah,
probably like the 15th pick, and you don't need a quarterback because you have ones there. What's the Saints need? What do you guys need? Like what's missing?
Well, first you know we have Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave are both out injured. Those are like our top two wide receivers. We've had Marcus Valdez Scantling step up to the plate wide receiver wise.
He's
looked
almost
really, really good so far. But you know, losing those top wide receivers due to injury and concussion protocol is definitely a downer.
Right.
But you know, I think a lot of it. I think most of our bugaboos this year was just injuries and just kind of finding the right way of how we want to attack, you know, each team each week, but it changes week to week because of all these injuries. So it's just, I think that's our biggest defeat. And I think next year, you know, if we keep Darren Rizzi, if we keep Clint Kubiak, obviously, and we have a healthy team, I think the Saints can do some magic, I feel like.
Right. I don't see why you don't keep Darren Rizzi. It seems like the players love him. That's, yeah. You make him your guy. I mean, seeing the energy around Mayo getting announced this year was a great sign. I mean, it's just the Patriots are the Patriots now. Granted, I'm looking at your schedule ahead for the Saints. I mean, the Rams will be a tough out, but that's home. You have home field. You might have a chance there. The Giants, it's Tommy Cutlets. I don't know. I think that's an easy one. That's a one you can't, like, get too confident on. I think that's almost like a trap game for the Saints. Right. More than anything.
Put it away early and be done with it.
Right. If you get some picks, you get some turnovers in the first half, that game's over. The Giants are having to dig out of a hole. Commanders, Packers, Bucks are the only ones I see as maybe being a problem. The Raiders I see as very similarly. Could just be a walk. That's another home one.
Yeah, some, that's why I said, like, in these last six games or whatever, it's just, you know, it's a, some of these could definitely be wins easily, but the others, it's like a, it's a toss-up. Just how you show up, how you go against them, and how you plan ahead for them.
Right, you could go 500 in the last six games, or you could go 4-2. Like, you could go 3-3, you could go 4-2. Both are there. It's kind of whichever way it goes, right? I'm looking at the Pats, it's the same thing. We got the Colts, who've been hit or miss. Bills twice, the Cardinals, the Dolphins. Like, I don't know who our best out is. I mean, the Bills were great last year, and the Patriots got a fluke win over them. So I think one of those two could be a fluke win again.
Do you think before we wrap it up and leave here, do you think Patriots can make the playoffs, or is it like, let's just tank and get a good draft pick?
I don't think I think we go for as best the end of a season as we can. We're not a playoff team. Even if like, I know there's other people in Pats fans who are like, oh my god, there's the red line, we're not far from it, we can make the wild card. No. Because if we do, we're put back in the spot of a couple years ago where we have like a mid first round pick and nothing to, like, higher hopes than we need.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting last, you know, handful of games for the NFL season. It's going to be fun. Just both our teams are just mid or lower, so let's just, you know, just have fun with it, let it ride. And...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm 100%. It's all about just don't get hurt is seemingly how I'm seeing the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
No major
injuries.
Just get
to the 60 minutes and get out.
Get there healthy. We're not, like, I know we're in playoff contention, we're three games out, but, like, the Bills twice and the Chargers in the last 3 weeks, like, you're not.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us. Jacob, I want to, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show. If you got any, you know, Patriots fans, you got any Patriots fans or hockey fans, you know, let them know about the pod. Say, hey, how's on this podcast? If you guys want to give it a listen.
Will do.
Maggie, again, thank you for joining. And I want to give a shout out to Sleepy Eags, DJ Sleepy Eags from St. Louis. He's right now based out of Chicago. He made the intro music for this podcast. So if you want to give him, listen to some of his stuff on SoundCloud, you can follow him on Instagram at Sleepy Eags, Sleepy EAGZ. He's a very chill dude. He's very cool, super awesome, makes good content. He, you know, again, he made the intro music for this podcast. He did a really great job. So thank you so much for that. So, you know, go ahead and spread the word for this new sports podcast to your St. Louis Blues friends or family, or your football friends. You know, if you see them with their struggling with their team, tell them to hit us up and we can get them on the show. So thank you so much for all for listening. And don't hesitate to stop by again to eat, relax, and take a load off of life. Until the ice is clean again, we'll see you very soon. Section 314, your favorite online.